Vegas, Dave Consolazio here alongside Kevin KT Taylor for week 15 of NFL Beyond the Numbers. KT, how you feeling?
Pretty good, sir. How about yourself?
Not too shabby. I'm getting excited for bowl season. I actually, a lot of people say, oh, there's too many bowls. There's 35 bowls. We don't need all that. I disagree. I say I'm excited for the famous Idaho Potato Bowl.
Sure, sure.
I say get every single team in the nation, get them in there. Let's just have 60 bowls.
Even 9-3 Louisiana Tech.
Oh, I think they could definitely make a case. I say get Colorado in there. Yeah. I say get them all in there. Washington State. But I'm happy with just 35 bowls. But also excited for this playoff push in the NFL, obviously. Yes. Some pretty interesting battles coming up. But we're not talking about this year's playoffs in our opening segment. Today, we're actually talking about the future of the playoffs.
Yeah, so you were just talking about how you wish there were more than 35 bowls. I think everybody thinks 35 is enough. Along the same lines, the NFL has recently talked about expanding to maybe 14 or 16 teams. So, Dave, why don't you give us some of the details, maybe for some of the people who aren't out there yet. I know I don't think I know 100% of the details that have been released, how many they are, but Goodell is obviously talking about getting 14, 16 teams. You look at the NBA and NHL, both of those have 32 teams, both of those have 16 in the playoffs. What kind of ideas is Goodell throwing out there?
Well, you basically have the gist of it right there. Basically, when you look at it from the NFL's perspective, the NFL is obviously just a massive money-printing machine at this point.
And whatever they can do to get more.
And when they were already looking at potentially making an 18-game season, adding a couple games to the regular season, maybe at the expense of the preseason, maybe just in addition to the preseason.
Yeah.
And now they're also talking about extending the playoffs. And like you said, in the NHL and NBA, you have 16 teams out of 30. So you have over 50% of the teams in the league making the playoffs.
Yeah.
And in this structure, right now, teams like 5-8 San Diego would
still be alive.
Would be there. There are a couple teams that are right now on the outside looking in that would be very clearly in because half the league is making the playoffs. And a lot of people are going to roll their eyes at that, but that's the way it is in the NBA. That's the way it is in the NHL. Mm-hmm. And from a league perspective, if you switch to, say, 16 teams and you have the 1 versus 8 and 2 versus 7, et cetera, like you have in the NBA and NHL, it would create more playoff games and thus more revenue, more fan interest, more teams making the playoffs, and more, you know, look at the Los Angeles Kings last year as an 8 seed. They go all the way. We've seen over the last couple of years some wild card teams, including the Giants, not last year, but the first time around, as a wild card going all the way to the Super Bowl. So it would add more of that because, especially in the NFL, any given Sunday, I look at a team like the Chargers just went into Pittsburgh and beat the Steelers. So a game like that happens in the playoffs, and now all of a sudden the Chargers are making a late playoff push. So it makes sense from an entertainment perspective, but you're making a face. What's your issue?
We could probably spend the entire podcast on why I think this is a horrible idea.
Okay, try two to three minutes.
Yeah, we'll try 2 to 3 minutes. Okay. The big thing for me is this. In the NHL, in MLB, and in NBA, and all of these, you have series in the playoffs. For football, you have one game. You have one game to show up and play your best. And what I love about that so much is that it just creates... Here's the thing about the NBA when you think about it. 16 teams make the playoffs, correct? At most, 6 of them actually have a shot at winning the NBA title.
Yep.
Is that fair? I mean, the Miami Heat, you know, Oklahoma City... We know who's going to be in the finals. Dallas,
and the NBA has the least parity of any.
Yeah.
Well, you could argue baseball, but baseball you get surprise teams in there and a hot pitching staff or some bats go cold. Basketball is absolutely, right now, if you can give me 5 teams, I will pick the champion.
Yeah, easily. And some people will say that's a good thing because they want to make sure they see the best teams, you know, in the finals. I'm not one of those people. I think what I love about the NFL playoffs so much right now, I think 12 teams is a perfect number for 32. I think, you know, obviously there was a season, I think it was 2007, where the Patriots went 11-5, did not have Tom Brady, did not make the playoffs somehow. when usually, you know, 9-7 used to be good, 10-6 was now considered the bar. 11-5 that year, I think, was an anomaly. You look at the past two seasons alone, and you had Denver at 8-8 make the playoffs still, when only 12 teams, they won their division. You look at the Seahawks, who were 7-9 2 years ago, won their division, beat the Saints in the playoffs. But my point is, you still have those teams that are underdogs that can pull off this win. But if you get 16 teams here, 8 on each side, I do enjoy the aspect of maybe the 8 can beat the 1 in one game, but at the same time, it just kind of discounts the whole season because it's only one game. In the NBA, you build up the number one seed, and then if you cough up a game, remember the Heat last year, were down 2-1 to the Pacers in the Eastern Conference Finals. If they just cough up one game in the NFL, you're done. So I think that needs to be done against better teams, and the fact that, you know, a 7-9 team could sneak in there, I don't like that at all. I think that you have to earn your way to the playoffs in the NFL, and that's what you're doing right now, and I think there's no reason to change it.
Yeah, the problem from an ideological perspective, that makes perfect sense, because, like you said, in a 7-game series, I actually despise in baseball that the first series is 5 games. Because I said, it's a 162-game season, and now we're going to rush the first turn of the playoffs.
And you can play them 3 days
in
a row.
And that was already bad. And then this last year, they made the one-game play-in, which in baseball is even worse. Yeah, and so in the NFL, there is no room for error, but then that's always been true. I mean, in the NFL, it's always one Sunday. There's never been a series. So what difference does it make that the best teams are going to have to knock off a couple of bad ones, a couple of more bad ones? I mean, the thing is, it's one of those things that I think we dislike it for two reasons. One, I think like you said, the structure as it currently is, I think, I don't want to say it's perfect, but I think it's very close to perfect. Yeah, because you have that incentive where the top two teams get a bye, and they get home field, which is huge. You give the division winners home field in the first round, and you have this great, right now, we've got these great wild card battles. And the problem is, people would say, oh, you're going to have a great wild card battle. But with what type of teams?
Exactly.
It's not like college football, where if you have a 4-team playoff or even an 8-team playoff, you're talking about a lot of one-loss teams, mm-hmm. undefeated teams, two-loss SEC teams that are all jousting for around 8 spots. In the NFL, if you're extending it to 16, right now, all the NFC, the entire bottom of the NFC is a bunch of 4-win teams. Yeah. All those teams are still alive.
Yeah.
And you get into the playoffs with 6 wins? 7 wins? I mean,
an absolute joke.
Ideologically, it would be terrible. But more playoff NFL football, would we not love it and eat it up just like we do everything else NFL football?
I think the general population probably would, and I think we probably would as well. But I think
what choice would we have? I mean,
yeah, exactly.
the one versus 8 game can't be worse than the replacement refs were, and we watched football then.
Yeah,
so I agree. Ideologically, it kind of sucks, but it makes sense from the league perspective because across the board it makes sense. Mm. TV deals, you make more money.
Yeah.
Stadiums and teams are making more money. It's more fan bases are excited because you have a perfect example, a team like the Saints.
Yeah.
Right? You know that this team, especially now that they're dropping the sanctions, of course, because now the playoffs are out of the picture. Never mind. Downey Gate is fine. Yeah, whatever. It's fine. You take a team like the Saints, if the Saints made the playoffs as a 7 seed or an 8 seed, this is the type of team that could make a deep run. So a fan like you, now you're going to be watching the playoffs anyway, as opposed to being disheartened, these last 4 games are important. So it keeps a lot more fan bases interested, it adds more playoff teams, and there's already a precedent for it with these other leagues. Mm-hmm. So from the league's perspective, it makes perfect sense. And the way John Clayton was talking about it, he was basically saying it's inevitable. Yeah. It may not be for 2 years
like
or for 4 years.
Everybody knows the NCAA tournament is going to expand to 120, whatever team eventually. Yeah. Here's the last thing that I'll say on it, because we both agree that we think that, you know, we're not even old school when we say we like what it is right now. We're just saying in general, right now they have the perfect system.
It's a great system.
Yeah, there's no reason to change it. And I think I'll say this. Because obviously the NFL is always talking about how much they want to stress on player safety with all these concussions and the big hits and stuff like that. And they're doing this, and then they're talking about adding 2 more games for an 18-game season. Or now, For example, with this, they're talking about adding a playoff game. So now these one seeds that, you know, can rest their players in the last week, you know, for the playoffs and then have that first round bye. All of a sudden, that's going
to
be gone.
And I guess that's where the potential 14-team playoff would come in to still get some kind of a bye involved. But still, most teams are going to be playing.
And then, of course, you also consider the teams that are, you know, mathematically eliminated right now. Like, let's say the Saints. Say the Saints, for some reason, want to shut down Drew Brees the rest of the season. Maybe he's got a shoulder injury or whatever. If they're still in the playoff hunt, they're still going to be pushing for that. And then, obviously, the potential that he could get.
Well, but I don't – I mean, I don't have a problem with that. I mean, that's, you know, you're playing the game to win it, obviously. Yeah. I think even he wouldn't want to get shut down. But you're absolutely right. The player safety mantra is a joke coming from the league side. Because they don't, they obviously don't give a damn. They'll run these guys into the ground, and if they roll off the field and never walk again at 35, that's fine. They don't care about player safety. The fact that they even say that they do is laughable, and this proves it. The thing, again, it makes sense from the league perspective, money-wise, and even from an entertainment perspective, more teams in the playoffs, more potential upsets and everything, even though it's not fair. It's not fair to those teams that earn those buys to have to go through a more arduous task. I also think the problem with it, you know, in the NHL and the NBA and, well, MLB, you have less playoff spots. In the NHL and NBA, you have so many games over the course of a season. In the NFL, you only have 16 or now 18 games, and you really take away the value of them.
Yeah.
By making this happen, because there's already not much value to NHL and NBA regular season games. Well, the Lakers might argue otherwise right now. But generally speaking, there are roughly six teams coming into the year that you know are going to make the playoffs, and then you've got a bunch of teams battling for those. And those battles are very interesting in the NHL and NBA. In the NFL, again, these are battles between teams that are three or four games under 500. When it's all said and done, generally, most teams with a winning record in the NFL end up making the playoffs. Because like you said, 9-7 has been good, 8-8 for some division winners. And usually the teams that get snubbed are 9-7, occasionally a 10-win team. But by and large, if you win the majority of your games, you get to make the playoffs. So that's already how it is. So adding four or five teams with losing records, how embarrassed were we when the Seahawks made the playoffs at 7-9?
I think the bottom line is that in the NFL specifically, where we always talk about, you know, the hottest team, sure, can win, but, you know, physically, whoever the best team overall is a lot of times will win. There's absolutely no chance, I don't think, that if they expand to 16, that an 8 or a 7 seed could win the Super Bowl.
You think there's no chance that could happen?
In the first 15, 20 years, probably no. Because there's the thing is, you're a 500 team in the NFL. At best, 8-8, 7-9, let's say, and you're playing the number one seed. Could you conceivably beat the top three teams in your conference and then the best
team
in the
AFC? What if you're a team like the Giants last year? Last year, the Giants and Cowboys at the end of the year play for that play-in playoff spot. It ended up being to win the division.
I think a 6 seed has won, a 7 seed maybe, but I don't think an 8 seed would.
I'm saying that's, and you're right, that might be a 6 or 7 seed, but I'm saying if instead of New York winning that game, Dallas wins that game, and so Dallas wins the division, and New York, I believe that would have put them at 7-9. They won the division, or no, they won the division at 9-7.
They would have been 8-8, and they wouldn't have made the playoffs, no.
And now, under this structure, they would the playoffs, and they're the same team.
Yeah.
That's the thing that I think it sucks more for...
They also would have a big win, though, coming in. That
could factor in, but the thing is, come playoff time, all bets are off, and that's everybody's going to be playing their best. So I just think it's unfair to the higher seeds, but... Nobody in the league offices is going to care about that.
Yeah.
So,
and all the fans of the bad teams are like, oh, poor New England. You have to play a game against an 8 seed.
Well, I mean, yeah, and then even that, yeah, exactly. But you look at, like, that Seattle-New Orleans game. Sorry to bring it up.
Yeah.
But New Orleans, because Seattle won the division, had to travel, you know, to Seattle and play in that super tough environment. You're going to have a lot of situations where you're going to have tough matchups, even for the home team, that are going to be created by this. But again, that's more intrigue. That's more for guys like us to talk about. It's more for NFL radio. It's more for concessions, more for everything. So if it makes sense money-wise, and the only downside is player safety, which we've all kind of written off anyway, then let's go for it. So we both don't like it, but we're not going to have a vote. So, and honestly, there are worse things in the world than, yeah. than more NFL more football.
You're right.
But there are already way too many injuries in the yeah. game. I mean, nobody makes it through an entire season anymore. Okay, yeah, yeah. If you've got 18 games in the regular season and then this playoff structure, it's just going to be who stays healthy more yeah. than who's actually the best team. I mean, look at the Bears. Like, now they don't have Urlacher. They were already starting to get cold. They're done.
Yeah.
So, if you can stay healthy... If you can stay healthy, that's going to be the key to the new NFL. But I hope that rolls around in, like, 2020. I like the system as it is now. Having said that, before we move on, this structure, I don't know why I'm against it, because it's really the only chance the Raiders have of making the playoffs in the next decade. So, get them in there, baby! There come on, one time! So, I'm actually going to be a big proponent of
it.
I want to be a playoff team, putting on my Raider jersey. So, never mind. Yeah. I am 100% on board. Let's make it a 24-team playoff instead.
Every team makes the playoffs.
Every team, they have 32 teams. It's a perfect...
It's all a season. It's all playoffs.
The 32 teams is a perfect... it's kind of like one of those fantasy leagues. My girlfriend plays in a fantasy league where the whole league makes the playoffs.
Yeah.
So, it's just you all cutesy around all year long, and then you... Yeah. Same way. We all play our 16 games, 18 games, have a laugh, and then 32 teams make the playoffs, one versus 16. That'll be fun. That's one of my new rule, Raiders playoff team 2013.
Enough talk about the playoffs, though. Those aren't perfect. Let's get to some picks, sir. After last week, I'm 23-15-4. You are 19-23. Mathematically, I think you might still have a chance. But
I did. I finally had a winning week, and then you did the same.
But first pick on the board is one that I absolutely love. My favorite pick of the week. One of my favorite picks that I've had in a long time. And it's Detroit -6 at Arizona. Now, I think some of the Cardinals might have listened to the podcast last week when they heard that we were saying that Oakland was the worst team in the NFL. They were like, we're still out here, guys. And they put up a 58-0 loss against Seattle, which I believe was somewhere in the area of 35-42 at halftime, if I'm not mistaken.
That's correct.
Ryan Lidley and John Skelton they might be 31-32 on the worst quarterback league, like starting quarterbacks this year.
31-32 is generous. They're absolutely if you ranked the first, second, and third quarterback of each team, so you've got about 96 quarterbacks. Neither of them is in the top
75.
Neither of them is in the top 50. Top 60 would be generous. 75 is actually.
When we're looking at Arizona, this is one of the things I love about the NFL.
By the way, John Skelton won the job out of camp. He won the job over Cobb.
Yeah.
And then that performance.
And this Cardinals team, you know, in week two beat New England in New England.
They were 4-0, and we were saying they were legit. Nice work.
Now, all it needed was Kevin Cobb to go down there, the worst team in football. It doesn't even matter. I would take anybody -6, even on the road in this spot, pretty much in the NFL. But the Lions I like a lot in this spot because they've suffered four straight single possession losses. This is a team that is, you know, down the dumps, is 4-9 and could easily, maybe not easily be 9-4, but they could have a winning record for sure. Just a couple things haven't gone their way. Now they get to have some fun against a terrible Arizona team who clearly the defense has given up now. That was the one positive thing they had. You know, Atlanta, they barely lost because the defense kept them in. Last week, the defense was like, we're done. If your offense is done, we're done. 58-0. I think Detroit wins this game by at least two touchdowns, probably three or four.
I think with all this talk of playoff expansion, if we could have, you know, when you have, I don't know if your fantasy football league has it, some of the baseball ones I've played in do the consolation bracket.
Yeah.
If we could get the Jacksonville Jaguars, Oakland Raiders, Kansas City Chiefs, and Arizona Cardinals to play in a four-team round robin, that would actually be really interesting. Because the Raiders are favored this week against Kansas City. One week after we said the Raiders are the most pathetic team in the league, Arizona says, like you said, I see you're pathetic and raise you 58-0. And Kansas City, an underdog going into Oakland, just got stomped by the Browns. It wasn't even close.
Yeah.
That would be a fun battle. Obviously, philosophy picks have had their time and they're done.
Yeah.
If the Mayans weren't right about the end of the world, they were right about the end of my reign as a decent NFL handicapper. I've said a lot of times that when you have your worst performance of the season, you should bounce back strong. When you have your worst performance...
It's not happening this season.
When you have your worst performance in
franchise
NFL
history.
I mean, what in the world?
Just like, there are just five or six teams that just don't know what they're doing. They're just absolutely awful. They should have a bracket. Speaking of playoff expansions, let's put the bottom four teams and have them have a bracket, and the winner gets the number one pick, loser gets the number four pick. Why don't we just do that?
Ooh, you just have to earn
the number one pick. And if you suck that badly, then you should be number four.
I like that. That's a good system.
What we should do instead of making 16 teams. Have a four-person
team. I think the Raiders can get that bracket.
And get the number one pick. There you go. I think that's a good idea.
And it would add more games, so yeah, why not? I think... God, playing for Locke last year would have been fun, and RG3. I mean, obviously, Detroit should win this one by 21 or 28, but it's... you have to remember... the week before, I mean, Arizona did hold the Jets to 7. I mean, that was a one-point game.
Yeah,
I mean, 58-0 is an anomaly. When you're as bad of a team as Arizona, and you've lost as many games in a row as this team, and you go down 3 touchdowns early, you'd like to see some fight, but it's not going to happen. That is one thing we've seen with these teams. I won't put Kansas City in there. I might not even put Jacksonville in there. One thing that the Raiders and Cardinals have in common, and why we put them in this discussion, is if they go down double digits early, they curl up in a ball and die.
Yeah.
They have no pride. They're not playing for jobs. They curl up in a ball and die. To your point that this makes Arizona the worst team in the league, don't forget the Raiders let Baltimore drop 55 on them a couple weeks back. So this isn't a
Or Seattle's offense. I mean, outside of Marshawn Lynch, they're not a team that's built to put up more than 30 on you.
Never. They should
put Baltimore at least has some
talented
players.
They average roughly 20. Like you said, just the entire team gave up.
Yeah.
Detroit has a knack for playing one possession games.
Yeah.
I mean, again, I'm probably going to end up picking Arizona, but my philosophy picks are 7 or 8 games under 500 this year. A team in every spot, especially in December. Like, this is when you're supposed to care and supposed to get up for games. I'm actually surprised it's only -6. When you give up, when you've lost, is it 9 straight?
9 in a row.
When you've lost 9 straight and give up 58 points and score none and score 6 the week before.
Yeah.
I don't understand how you're not a 14-point underdog, but whatever.
Second pick that I like, the Saints are -3.5 at home against Tampa, and I really like this pick a lot as well because, you know, the Saints already beat Tampa Bay in Tampa. It came down to the end and was a Mike Williams touchdown that was called back that ended the game.
I believe we had a little bit of money on that game.
I think you might have had the Saints.
That was a great, and I really enjoyed that loss.
The Saints are they're out of the playoffs now, mathematically, or maybe they can still win out and have Seattle lose out, maybe some tiebreakers. But they're
done. I don't think they're mathematically out, but they are spiritually out.
But you know, let's put it this way. The Saints, this entire season, I think we can say, maybe not with the, when they lost to Denver, they got blown out. But the whole season, the Saints have been fighting. They haven't always had their best football out there, but they've never really given up on any games. And I think last week they kind of gave up against New York. I think that was the first time all season that both sides of the ball were kind of down and the offense wasn't doing fantastic and they got the late touchdown, 52-27. They were just kind of blown out. I don't think Drew Brees is going to let that happen 2 weeks in a row. I think he's going to make sure they have pride in this team. Not only that, but of course the big news yesterday that the suspended players are officially back now. Paul Tagliabue basically said that Roger Goodell is an asshole and ruled against him. That's pretty much what happened.
I don't think so. I think it's more along the lines of Roger Goodell just kind of said, well, we've officially gutted this team.
Done.
We've officially gutted this team, so why don't you go ahead and play the good guy and let these guys come back?
Not only that, but Tampa Bay has now lost 3 straight. They were right in the thick of the wild card race, but they've fallen off recently, including a tough loss last week to Philadelphia that they really had no business losing. They were winning the entire game, lost it with late possessions at the end, back-to-back by Philly. I just think that the Saints bounce back in this game at home, get a good division win. The crowd will still be there. They'll have the energy. I think the Saints get this win pretty easily, actually.
I think the fact that this game is at home helps the Saints a lot, especially considering how bad they've been this year and with the players coming back. I think this home crowd deserves a win, a win over a team like Tampa Bay. But the Saints have not looked good, granted against quality opposition the last few weeks.
Yes.
But Drew Brees has not looked good. It's not just – there were some throws he made again last week, and I feel like at this point he's forcing the issue so much because – you never have a shutdown defense in New Orleans.
Yeah.
But in the past, you've had a defense that you know can step up and get the ball back for you. And it's just not there this year. And I don't think
it was for a couple games.
It was. And it looked like that was when they were actually going to be back in it. And then it went away again.
Around San Francisco.
And then having said that, the defense might not have faith in Drew Brees these days. He threw the two pick sixes against San Francisco, five picks against Atlanta. Again, in the New York game, not sharp. He certainly played better than those two, but there were some throws he was making that, again, it's easy for us on the couch to say, why did he make that throw? But it's just, he's forcing it so much.
Yeah.
And a team like Tampa Bay has already exceeded expectations this year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we thought they were going to be a cellar dweller, and they've actually been quite good.
Yeah.
And if you talk about teams fighting, this team, virtually every single week, it's been a touchdown or less that they've lost by. They've been fighting all year long. They certainly have the offense to shoot out with this team. I actually think this is going to be a 3 or a 4 point game. So I wouldn't have this on my board, but I think it's going to be a really good game that will mean nothing.
Yeah.
But it's actually a shame that both these teams didn't pick up an extra win, because this one should be really fun and exciting, but there's just going to be more important games to watch at that time.
The last game that I like is the Colts are +9.5 at Houston, and this is kind of a risky pick because the Texans suffered their second loss of the season to the Patriots, and they were blown out in the game. And their first loss, they were blown out by Green Bay at home. The next week, they came home and destroyed Baltimore. The week
absolutely
after.
Destroyed them.
Absolutely destroyed them. And now, of course, you lose at New England on Monday. Now you're coming back to at home to play the Colts in a huge division game. The Colts might actually still have a shot, crazily enough, at the division title here, even though the Texans are 11-2. The Colts are only 9-4. So if they get this
win, they play Houston twice.
They're within a game. So this is a huge game. The Texans need to be up for this. I think the Texans win this game. I think the Texans are leading the game somewhat comfortably throughout. I think they probably hold a 10-13 point lead throughout most of it. Andrew Luck gets a touchdown at the end, gets it to a one possession game. Maybe they have a shot to go in and tie it, and the Texans stop them. But I like it to be around a 7-10 point deficit the entire game, and then lean a little towards the closer side when it's over. I'd like the Colts to cover the spread, lose the game, keep it competitive, but cover the 9.5.
Pete Carroll had a Twitter Q&A yesterday, I believe it was, and one of the questions he was asked was, what has impressed you most about the Seahawks this year? And he said the consistency of this team has been unique, mm-hmm. that every week, you know, they're going out and playing well. He just said the consistency part because he only had 140 characters. I added that last part.
Yeah,
I think when you look at the Indianapolis Colts, this is a team that just goes out and consistently plays its best game.
Yeah.
I actually think this is just an average team, but what separates 9-4 in this league from 4-9 sometimes is just the ability to go out and play your best. Because if you look at across the board, you look at games and it never makes sense. That a perfect example, last week, Philadelphia beats Tampa Bay. That should have never happened. Yeah. And we've seen, but Philadelphia goes out and plays its best. Tampa Bay has an off game. They lose. Mm-hmm. The Colts don't have off games. But they're 7-1 straight up and against the spread over their last 8 games. The wins are Cleveland, Tennessee, Miami, Jacksonville, Buffalo, Detroit, Tennessee.
Not a
single impressive win.
Yeah.
Not a single one. I'm a big believer. Now, Andrew Luck had near or tied for the league lead in interceptions. As much as I love him, I think his career arc is going to be very similar to Peyton Manning's.
Okay.
If he stays healthy, I believe he's a Hall of Famer. Uh-huh. He's a generational talent. And he's having an excellent year this year as well. I obviously had him in discussion for MVP last week. Much deserved. But he's thrown a lot of interceptions, especially in big games. And I think this Indianapolis Colts team is a good team.
Mm-hmm.
They're good. They're good, but they go out and play their best. And that might have something to do with, I think last week you were talking about how much the Pagano side of things has affected that. Maybe that is giving them some extra internal drive. Mm-hmm. Or maybe they're just a bunch of great athletes that go out there and give it their all every week. in the one loss, 7-1 straight up in ATS, in the one loss, they got completely destroyed by New England. They didn't even look like they belonged on the same field. Mm-hmm. Now, New England will do that to teams, obviously. They just did it to Houston. But I think it's telling that this spread is 9.5 points.
For a 9-14.
For a 9-14 that's 7-1 straight up and against the spread. This has been a money-making machine for bettors. Mm-hmm. So, of course, they're going to want them at 9.5. Not only that, but of course, Houston coming off of the blowout loss on Monday night. I actually think Houston rolls in this one. I hope I'm wrong, though, because I like Indy a lot, and we talked about it a couple weeks back, how these guys really fight for each other, and this is a fun team to watch. I'd like to see them keep this game competitive, and if they won it, it would actually make for a really interesting race down the stretch, but they kind of need this win to show me there's something, because a bunch of wins over a bunch of 5-win teams just tells me, again, that you're a good team.
Yeah.
And I think they're a good team taking advantage of a weak schedule and that they don't belong on the same field as Houston.
Let me ask you this real quick about the Houston defense, because you look at this team and they're 11-2, and a lot of people are saying that they're maybe not now after they lose to New England, but they were the best team in football. But you have to be concerned if you're a Houston fan when you face a very talented spread, big playing offense like Green Bay, and you give up 40 plus, and then you play a big talented, you know, spread offense of New England, you give up 40 points. Mm-hmm. And these teams are, you're going to meet them in the playoffs, most likely, at least New England, you know, obviously they play in the Super Bowl with Green Bay, you know, and say they play a team like Atlanta or Denver again. Are you concerned that this defense in a big game against a big offense can't stop them?
I am concerned for the Texans. I've seen enough from the Texans now. A week or two ago, you were laughing at me for taking the Texans as an upset last week because we were talking about how elite they are, and now all of a sudden that looked like an idiot pick, and Houston doesn't look elite at all.
Yeah.
I went from thinking that Houston was going to go into New England and beat New England and establish itself as an elite team in this league to being completely disenfranchised with this team. I mean, I'm not saying they can't make a deep playoff run. They have an incredible offense and a defense that's certainly capable, but every big test they've had, like they were saying after the game, every big test they've had, they have failed miserably.
Yeah, I mean,
they failed miserably against Rodgers. They failed miserably against Brady. They ended up winning against Denver, but they didn't do a great job. And that had more to do with Denver. It was one of those
games where they held, where Peyton Manning struggled in the first half and destroyed them.
And if they played Denver this week, I don't think they win that game at all.
And I love
so,
Denver. So.
Right, and so I'm not concerned this week.
Yeah.
A team like Indianapolis, fine. They beat 14-17. Yeah, in the playoffs, I'm quite
it would be funny. It would be funny if a lot of people were saying Houston and Atlanta, probably. If Atlanta figures out their issues in the playoffs, makes a run, Houston, if they make the Super Bowl, would obviously have been playing good on defense.
I think that's a very good comparison.
Yeah, if the two of them play, what are the chances Atlanta blows them out in the Super Bowl?
Well, what are the chances? Well, if you're just talking about Houston and Atlanta.
Yes. I'm just throwing out Atlanta.
What are the odds? Like right now, those are the two. They're both 11-2. They both have the best record in football. Would you bet on either of them to win the Super Bowl?
No, but I'm just throwing it out there, like, you know,
because I'm saying as good as these teams are, not only do they not have any playoff history, they also they're not passing the eye test, which is amazing to say for 11-2 teams. But against good teams, they're not.
I think my point is in the AFC. If New England makes the Super Bowl, it won't be a. It could be a blowout for them. They will not get blown out because that offense is good enough. You look at Denver. Denver won't get blown out. You know, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, they're going to keep it. Maybe not Baltimore. Pittsburgh keep it close. I think there's a potential that Houston can make the Super Bowl and get blown out. But with this offense, with this defense, the way they're playing, if they play an offense like Atlanta or an offense like even the New York Giants.
I see why you bring up Atlanta, because really a lot of the offenses out in the NFC are
exactly.
Kind of dead
what
right
I'm
now.
Saying is Houston can make the Super Bowl and potentially get blown out.
Depending on the matchup. But I actually don't think so. I think most NFC teams, all the NFC teams that look like they're going to make it are more power teams. I don't necessarily think they're going to get blown out. I don't think they're going to make the Super Bowl. Because if you look at the path they're going to have to get through, I still think they're going to get the bye. I think they're going to win this week. They're going to get the bye. You're going to have to get through, I would imagine, probably Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm. And then Denver and New England.
Yeah. And even Baltimore. If Baltimore, they can figure it out. And they've got the offensive talent. So I just, I like I said, last week I thought they were going to beat New England and I would have liked them Super Bowl that game. And people will say, oh, you can't make that much about one game. But it's more about that game, mm-hmm. pulling back the curtain. it wasn't so much that game as it is, okay, wait a minute, I need to take a closer look at this, and now I'm taking a closer look at this, and I'm not quite as impressed. It helps to play games against Jacksonville and Tennessee.
It's very interesting that the Colts played to the Texans two of the last 3 weeks of the season.
I really hope they win this one, because that would make a really... If the last game of the season is in Indy, and it's actually for the division, that would be sick. I think what's going to happen is Houston's already going to have the bye locked up, Indy's already going to have a wild card locked up, and we're just going to see a bunch of backups in there, but it could be an awesome game if Indy wins this week.
So now we'll go to my upset. I like Carolina at San Diego. We kind of say this every 2 or 3 weeks that there's just it's not even to these specific teams, actually. It's just there's always a result that we can't explain through X's and O's. We can't explain through motivation. We can't really explain at all. It's just one of those. In the NFL, these games happen. I think one of those last week was San Diego and Pittsburgh. Roethlisberger wasn't himself, as we could tell from watching. He came on at the end, but he was obviously recovering still. So you have that. But the fact that San Diego can go in and absolutely destroy Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh, 27-3, and I don't think it was San Diego fighting for Norv Turner's job. I think it was just everything was going well for them. For some reason, Pittsburgh puts up those random games nonstop. I'm not really
the thing about that game, there's a couple factors you can first of all, San Diego has been, to its defense, playing teams pretty hard. They should have beat Baltimore. That was absolutely ridiculous, that 23-yard run. And then they had, who was it, Cincy, it was a very close game. They could have won that one. They've been fighting. And at this point in the season, the team that has all the pressure on it, it can have an off game. You never see it in Pittsburgh. You've mentioned a lot that Pittsburgh will have those games occasionally, and they absolutely did. They dropped that game against Tennessee earlier this year. That's a Pittsburgh thing to do. But at home in December, that's not a Pittsburgh thing to do, and that's why this game, like you said, is so bizarre.
So that is a good point about specifically being in Pittsburgh, maybe saying something. But my point is, I'm just not really putting anything into that game for San Diego.
That's perfectly reasonable.
I still think they're not a very good team, and Cam Newton is obviously coming on very hot.
Great time for your playoffs.
Exactly. I'm in the semifinals. But he's just been playing really well recently. I think Carolina in general.
We're going off on a lot of tangents here, but you say right in time for your playoffs. How many? You have six. You started with
six. They're all
teams.
In the playoffs.
They're all in the playoffs. How many are in the semis?
One of them was knocked out, so I still have
five playoff teams and all semis or some semis?
There's one that is. It's a four-person, and it's actually 2 weeks, the matchup. So I'm down in that one, but I still have next week to catch up.
You will have to give us fantasy updates down the stretch to see how many championships you can win.
For sure. But the thing is, I like Carolina. I think they've been playing hot recently. They dominated Atlanta last week. The game was never close. Even in San Diego, I think Cam Newton can run on this offense, can pass it. I like Carolina to pull off the upset outright. Not a blowout. I don't think it's going to be close, but I like Carolina to win.
Yeah, I like this pick. I think San Diego is a bit better on paper. And like I said, they've played teams really tough lately. Mm-hmm. But if you look at the logic behind it, like I was saying, the San Diego Chargers were a team that really had nothing to lose. Once Denver beat San Diego, that was pretty much it for San Diego's season. And they've been the team with nothing to lose when Baltimore needed to win, Pittsburgh needed to win, Cincinnati needed to win. Carolina doesn't need a win. Carolina also has nothing to lose. So I think they're going to go out. They're both just playing for fun, playing for pride. And with San Diego not having that edge, Phillip Rivers gets back to throwing a pick or two. Cam Newton makes the big plays. And I actually like Carolina to win this one too. But who cares what I like, because I'm terrible at this. and nothing more terrible than... What's more pathetic? What's more pathetic than a guy who just will not make a change? It's very much like a stubborn coach that has...
Rex Ryan, maybe?
Rex Ryan's a perfect example. I'm just, with my philosophy picks, I just keep trotting Mark Sanchez out there, and I keep getting destroyed, and I just keep coming
running
back
into your offensive lineman and fumbling it.
I just keep on doing it, and I'm doing it again this week with Chicago +3.
It's an interesting one.
At home against Green Bay. This one is one of those games that covers on a lot of different philosophy elements, which the Baltimore game did last week, and that didn't do me any good. Mm-hmm. Chicago is a home divisional underdog in December. That usually means something. Mm-hmm. But more important than that, okay, so that's one. Two, high and low. Green Bay is coming in 7-1 straight up, 6-2 ATS in its last 8 games. Mm-hmm. The New York game was clearly an anomaly at this point. This team is red hot. They're looking very much like they did last year. You were saying in the preseason that this Packers team might be better than last year's,
yep.
And they certainly have been on defense, and I think they're starting to definitely get into playoff mode. Very dangerous team, Green Bay, right now. And actually a perfect example of the type of team that could blow Houston out again. Chicago, 1-4 straight up and against the spread in their last 5 games. Mm-hmm. Without Urlacher, the defense loses some punch. And honestly, if you look at their track record, a lot like Indy, this is a team that feasts on bad teams. Mm-hmm. But when it goes up against good teams, fails. Struggles.
Yeah, exactly.
Why is this only a 3-point spread? Honestly.
It's because it's in Chicago.
But who cares? Does anybody honestly think that that Chicago is going to win this game? Anybody. I say, what is there in this game? Not only is Green Bay a substantially better team, Green Bay is 8-2 straight up and against the spread in their last 10 against Chicago with 4 straight wins. They completely destroy Jay Cutler. I mean, they own this guy. They mock this guy. I mean, last game, that was one of the most pathetic games. I believe we were both playing in the same poker tournament at the time, watching Chicago just melt down, as they always do against Green Bay. Mm-hmm. With the history between these two teams, with the form that these two teams are coming into this game in, why isn't Chicago +6? Think about it. If Chicago was +6, would everybody be pounding Chicago? I don't think so.
No.
I think everybody would still be on Green Bay. I think this is a trap line, and I think it has something to do with Soldier Field, December, the game meaning something. In my brain and my heart, I think Green Bay is going to win this game. But, again, I am stubborn, and I'm sinking with my ship, so Chicago +3.
It's all well and good to sink with your ship, but considering how often you've been wrong with these, I'm probably automatically going to go the other way.
The auto fade, that's good.
Considering that I am a big fan of Green Bay right now and not so high on Chicago, specifically for this game, I'm not going to go your way, but it's still a really huge game as far as the division is concerned.
Green Bay can clinch it.
Exactly, and it's one that I think is interesting because this is kind of how this rivalry goes, where they'll either have an ugly defensive game where Rodgers actually does struggle along with Cutler, or it'll be a shootout like 35-27. And I think that's what's going to happen this week, actually, because in their first game, it was a offensive struggle. And I think the final score was on like 17-13 in that area. Green Bay won. So I actually...
I think it might have been
13. Yeah, exactly. So the thing is that the Chicago weather could be a big factor. If it's snowy, windy, rainy, then offense will be cut down. But assuming that it's just brisk and it's just cold and not if it's good for passing, I actually think this is going to be somewhere in the area of 30-23, 34 in that area.
Do you at least think it's going to be a close game?
I think it'll be fairly close, but in a shootout, I like Green Bay to probably cover by 7 or 10 points.
I think if it's a shootout, Chicago has no chance. I think it's going to have to be an ugly game because I just don't like Jay Cutler to match Aaron Rodgers tit for tat in this game.
That's
so
true.
I'm hoping for a 10-13 type of game, but I'm not even really hoping for it because I don't even like the Bears. So whatever happens, this season's already sunk anyway. So whatever. Pittsburgh -1 going into Dallas. Both of these teams coming off of very different experiences last week. Pittsburgh coming off of the heartbreaking loss at home, which made very little sense. Dallas coming off of that awesome win against Cincinnati. Not only do I think Pittsburgh is the better team here, and not only do I think Dallas, you know, when you look at Dallas, they've actually been playing quite well, especially on offense, but the defense has struggled a bit. When you look at Dallas's track record, this is another team that doesn't really... I don't want to say they don't have quality wins, because they did beat the Giants, and they have a couple quality wins, but they also have lost a lot of games to quality teams.
Sure.
I like Pittsburgh better as a team. I like Pittsburgh in December, when you look at the track record of these two teams over the last 5-10 years. Mm-hmm. Pittsburgh is a proven winner come this time of year. Dallas isn't. One team coming in high and low, but obviously motivation isn't going to be an issue in this game. Not only do I just think Pittsburgh is the better team, I don't even care that Dallas is, I believe it's 0-9 against the spread in their last 9 games at home now. that doesn't even bother me. This is just essentially a pick'em that I believe Pittsburgh is the better team in, and that's the long and short of it, I guess. Nothing too exciting.
I won't go into too much detail on this, because both these teams have big questions, and you don't really know what you're going to get with them week in, week out. I think I'm going to go with Pittsburgh in the end, even though it's on the road, for the simple fact that, you know, in years past, and maybe not this year since they just lost, but Pittsburgh plays very well in December, and I always like them in December, and Dallas just plays terribly in December. And so until that changes, I guess I'm just going to stick with it. So I think that Pittsburgh probably wins this game.
And whichever team wins this game, obviously in good shape for the playoffs, and whichever team doesn't, in really bad shape. So this is actually one of the most exciting games of the week. Mm-hmm. But we both have a Pittsburgh future bet, I believe. So yes, we both kind of need this one. Yeah. So a little bit of heart in that pick.
Sure.
Seattle is -5.5 at the Rogers Center in Toronto. And the thing here, you look at Seattle, obviously well known for not being a very good road team.
Yeah.
2-5 straight up on the road, 3-4 against the spread. Buffalo, up and down year, another tough loss for them, giving you that upset pick last week.
Yeah.
The thing about this game, as much as I don't like Seattle on the road, everything in this game points to a Seattle victory, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Not only, they're obviously the better team, but Seattle did just go into Soldier Field and beat Chicago. Now, Chicago is down, but that was a big road win for morale for Seattle. Seattle's has its cornerback suspensions. Buffalo has the 25th or 26th passing game in the league. Not saying they can't beat you with the passing game, but they generally don't.
Mm-hmm.
Buffalo has the 28th ranked rushing defense in the league. Seattle, a top three rushing offense, should rush all over this team. Buffalo, against quality opponents this year, hasn't won a game and has only covered once. Yeah. Buffalo has been stomped by quality opponents this year. All of Buffalo's wins have come against bad teams. This is just a very average team. I don't care at all about trends like this, but in their four games in Toronto, Buffalo is 1-3 straight up, 1-2-1 against the spread. It's not like they've had a wonderful time at the Rogers Center. This is just one of those games that everything on paper stacks up for a Seattle comfortable win, and it's one they need. And Buffalo, especially after last week's loss to St. Louis, doesn't really look like a team to me that's saying, let's really finish this season strong, guys. Yeah. So I like Seattle to win this one quite comfortably, actually.
Yeah, I mean, you convinced me. I don't think there's really an argument to be made for Buffalo. What can you really hang your hat on that they've done this season? The one thing that coming into the season and a couple of their big wins last year and some close games they've had was their passing game. That was always something that no matter what, you could rely on that. And this year it's been struggling for them. And Stevie Johnson has been very average this year at receiver. CJ Spiller has definitely come up. And now that Fred Jackson's on the IR, he should have a...
And that's a great point. Spiller, obviously a major threat for Buffalo, but Seattle's rushing defense is
exactly
very strong.
I don't see the offense doing very well. And I mean, the Seattle defense just put up 58 last week, so they're feeling pretty good about themselves. They'll probably be able to put up, against Buffalo, they'll be able to put up 27 easily, and can Buffalo get to 17? I doubt it.
Yeah, generally, I don't like taking a team coming off a 58-0 type of win, but to win by 7 against Buffalo with all this stuff, I think it stacks up. I have to take one square pick, don't I, with all these other stupid ones I'm taking. And lastly, as my upset pick in the Thursday night game, I like Philly over Cincinnati. Just getting back to that whole idea of which team is the pressure on. Mm-hmm. Philadelphia played great against Dallas. They actually had the typical turnovers they always do. That was the reason they ended up losing that game, but they had a chance to beat Dallas. That was a very good and close game in Dallas. Then last week, they go into Tampa Bay and beat Tampa Bay outright.
Mm-hmm.
Their coach is gone next year, and this just looks like a team that is playing for fun. And they've looked like that for the last couple of weeks, but after actually winning last week, I think that reminder of how good that feels is going to give them a little extra kick in this game, because it's like, hey, we've already been having fun, we've been fighting teams hard. Let's grip the ball a little harder and win another one. This is actually kind of fun. Cincinnati.
Forgot how awesome winning is.
Yes, winning is cool. Like 9 straight losses, I forgot. The Raiders got a call and we're like, winning is fun. Well, maybe we'll try it against Kansas City this week. Cincinnati, so much pressure on this team. They cannot afford to lose this game, especially considering the fact that if they win this game and Pittsburgh loses to Dallas, which is, you could very easily argue, a very likely scenario, it would give them a bit of a buffer zone for that head-to-head game they've got coming up. Well, if they lose this game,
they're going
to be in real trouble, and that head-to-head game is going to be really important. So Cincinnati is going to be really stressed out, and they're coming off of a tough loss last week. And I think that all factors into just Philly playing loose, playing fun, and maybe winning in a similar way to how San Diego won last week against Pittsburgh. Just they're the team that's having more fun. And as a side note, I just brought up the Dallas game and forgot to mention that in my Pittsburgh pick, that with the tragedy that has struck in Dallas, they played so quickly afterwards. And then you saw the following week when you actually have to prepare what happened to Kansas City. When I think you're gonna, you might. That was one of the reasons I like Pittsburgh in that game. I think Dallas this week, their hearts are gonna be a bit heavier, and that was also an advantage I want to point out there. But in this game, yeah, I think Philly plays loose, plays fun. Cincinnati's actually been playing some great football, and they went into the fourth quarter up 19-10 on Dallas. They should be 5-0 straight up in their last five. They're the better team. They could absolutely prove me wrong here, but I think Philly plays fast and loose and gets an upset.
Yeah, it's an interesting pick, and you know, last year, the Eagles had Vic and Deshaun at the end of the season, and you know, we mentioned a lot in the beginning of the season how they ended the season 4-0. Even though they don't have Deshaun Jackson, they have Nick Foles now, it's not inconceivable to think that they won't run it out and, hey, maybe even beat a Cowboys or a Giants to close
play a little spoiler
out.
Yeah,
exactly. So I can definitely see it, but you know, having said that, Cincinnati's right. You know, they're still in the race for the wild card in there, and they still have a really good shot at it. They have been playing really well. And they just know, especially with that game against Pittsburgh coming up, that they need to win this game. So I think that for their playoff hopes, I think they bounce back. They're frustrated after the Dallas loss. I think they get the win, but it's not inconceivable to think that the, you know, a team on paper that could be even and maybe even a little better than Cincinnati couldn't beat them, even though Cincinnati on field has been playing a lot better.
Am I the only one that's amused by the fact, I don't know if you've noticed this or not, that Philadelphia, obviously because everybody was expecting them to be amazing this year, they're playing in so many primetime games down the stretch here. Every week they're playing a Thursday night game or a Monday night game or a Sunday night game. They, I think this is their third primetime game in the last 4 weeks. And it's the Eagles. They're brutal. It's actually really funny, but that obviously Cincinnati's the team that needs this win, and we'll see how mature they are and how good they are, because the great teams buckle down and win these games, and the shaky teams are the ones that lose them. So I'm betting on shaky here, and my bets have lost all year, so Cincinnati will probably roll. So you are the playoff master in fantasy football,
supposedly.
And this year more than ever, or I should say at this time of year more than ever, you need a key pickup if you've got a matchup that you don't like.
Definitely.
So what are you looking at this week?
A couple guys that I like this week. Joik Bell is the first one, the running back for Detroit, 39% owned. And this is a guy who's starting to get a lot more carries in Detroit. Mikel LeShore has kind of been falling off recently. They've kind of been splitting the duties. He's been making a lot of plays. He's put up three straight double-digit games. And I mentioned before, I definitely love Detroit this week against Arizona. I think there's a great chance that they jump out to a big lead and get this kid going in their offense and getting him more involved. And I think he could just have – I actually think he could have a monster game against Arizona. If it turns into another blowout for for Arizona where their defense is just kind of giving up, I think they give up a lot of big plays. Bell should see a ton of field considering they want to, you know, keep both of them active and involved. I think he could have a really big game.
Yeah, it's not often you get to spot start a running back against a team coming off a 58-point loss. So it's tricky because I still fundamentally like Arizona's defense, but that doesn't really matter because over the last few weeks it's been torched because, again, like we talked about, the offense gets off the field in three plays virtually every time, and you always have short fields. You got to figure Bell's good for a touchdown or two just on the amount of great field positions that Detroit's going to start with. So
definitely
great spot start.
Second guy I like is Donnie Avery, 29% on the Colts receiver. I mentioned T.Y. Hilton a few weeks ago. I had him on one of my teams, and I've been starting in the last 3 or 4 weeks. He's been doing great for me. I like Avery a lot as well. He's been playing some good games. And we mentioned earlier about how porous sometimes the Houston defense can be. I thought this was interesting that On the season, they've given up the fifth most points to wide receivers fantasy-wise, and in the last 5 weeks, they've given up more than anybody, to receivers specifically.
That is
so
interesting.
For a passing offense like the Colts, who loves to throw the ball, Luck throws it 50 times a game, to Wayne, Hilton, and now Avery, I think Avery and Hilton are both guys who you should go with this week. If you're weak at wide receiver three or flex, I expect a lot of big numbers. Again, in a matchup that on paper looks like it's going to be bad against Houston, but actually for receivers is going to be great.
Yeah, and considering, if you believe me, I don't know why you would, that this is going to be a big Houston win, that would probably mean that Indy's going to be throwing a lot more. They're going to throw a lot regardless, whether it's a shootout or a blowout loss. But if they get down 14 points, you're going to be throwing that much more.
Yeah.
And once Houston gets into that prevent and you start eating up yards late, that's just point after point in fantasy. So that does it for us this week. As always, you can email me at VegasDavesDime@gmail.com.
Or me at KevinJTAY@gmail.com. Don't forget, you can catch this podcast and everything else sports at sportsinvasion.net.
Thank you guys so much for joining us, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys.